we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
I told you that we were going to improve on last week's bumper video. Welcome to Redemption Church, everyone. We've decided that a really terrible bumper video makes the sermon just seem that much better. And so we are fully committing to it. Be back next week for an even worse bumper video. I hope you can have fun today. Everybody look at somebody and say, hey, I can have fun. I can have fun. I can have fun. All right, cool. We're in the second week of our home improvement sermon series. I want to greet everybody in the room. Thank you for being with us. Everybody online, Facebook Live, our podcast, hello to each and every one of you. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm preaching a sermon series that has nothing to do with Tim Allen, but it does have to do with home improvement. The idea is that everyone lives somewhere. I told you last week about the homeless man that I had a conversation with, and he says he never felt homeless because everyone lives somewhere, and he just tries to improve wherever he is living. So we should try to improve the situation where we find ourselves, all right? Last week we talked to you about building your house, all right? And that was like a metaphor for building your life, building your marriage, building your family, building your career, building your education. Whatever that fits in your life, that is what we are talking about. I want you to remember what we focused on last week. Where to build. We talked about where to build. If you want what you build to last, then you have to build on something that will last. You need to build on something unchanging, and Jesus Christ is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So build on Jesus. You can clap for that if you like that. So where to build, also counting the cost. We told you that amazing, encouraging story about a Vietnam sniper named Carlos Hathcock and how he made the decision when he was in his right mind. If you don't know that story, you need to go back last week and hear that sermon. We need to make the decision and then hold to the decision. It's not enough to make a decision. You've got to hold to the decision. Where to build, counting the costs, and then third, who will build? Maybe, just maybe, you aren't the best candidate to build this project. Maybe there is someone who can build it better than any of us. God has offered to build our life in every area. So why not allow Him to build? Today we're going to be talking about fixing your home. Everybody said, fix your home. You don't have to be a homeowner for very long to realize that homes need fixing. Yep. Can I get an amen from a homeowner? Or at least a groan, right? When you rent a home, an apartment or condo, you just pick up the phone when you rent. And who do you call when something's broken? Landlord. You call the landlord when something breaks, and the landlord fixes it. But when you own your own house and you have to, something breaks, who do you call? You call your wife, right? So I said that. Very good, Lupita. All right. You see, you have to fix it yourself, or at least pay someone else to fix it. You have to take control over the situation when you are the owner. There's a big difference between renters and owners. We moved into our first home, and on day one, we ran our very brand new washing machine. We're not talking used, not a Craigslist special. No, a brand new washing machine. And it went through all the cycles. It's like, listen to that thing purr. It's so beautiful. And it then started to drain. You know that sound that clicks over when it starts to drain? Click! And then you hear that rush of water. It's like, oh man, babe, we did good. We picked out a really good washing machine. And so it's draining, and then suddenly there is water everywhere on the floor. Everywhere on the floor. You see, what happened was it drained, and it went up that hose into the drain that goes out to the sewer. But there was a clog in that sewer line, and the water just backed up, and it suddenly was all over the floor. It was an entirely awful, gross mess. And then we're just like, well, that's it. We're going to find a new house. No, we just bought this house, right? You can't just pack up. There was no one to call. We didn't say, hey, you need to come over here right now and fix your house, because we'd be calling ourselves, because it's our house. You see, the drain was clogged by the previous owner, not by us, not by me, not by Sarah. It was clogged by a previous owner, and it never made it to the sewer, the water, because there were some things in the way. It was an even bigger mess when we had to go to Home Depot very quickly and rent something called a snake. Have you ever used a snake? Oh, my goodness. Lots of fun there. You see, we found that snake reached into that drain, and it pulled out diapers. It pulled out rubber gloves that were stuffed down in there. It pulled out all kinds of black, gross stuff that made you want to get nauseously ill. It was just so awesome. It is such a blessing to own a home, right? It's true. It's a blessing to own a home. But in those moments, you don't feel so blessed. I want to tell you that sometimes you inherit problems. And any home that you buy, even if it's a brand new home, you might inherit someone's problem. The previous owner or a builder that wasn't paying attention. But you bought it, and suddenly that problem is your problem. Look at somebody and say, it's your problem now. You see, we didn't shove diapers in the drain. We at least know better than that, right? We didn't put rubber gloves into that drain. But when we bought the house, we bought the problem. And you can inherit all kinds of problems. Shoddy workmanship that didn't follow codes. You can inherit that kind of problem. A faulty foundation. Oh man, it's a really, really great trick. You can paint right over the cracks in the wall. And then next season, crack, that foundation shows up that, no, I'm faulty. And those cracks come right back. But you can inherit that. Cleverly hidden things. Cracks that are caulked over and painted over. Problems hidden within the walls behind sheetrock. You can inherit hidden problems. Dangerous problems like bad wiring that could cause a fire in the middle of the night. And you talk about panic. But you could inherit any one of these problems, perhaps all of these problems, and you might be having some of those problems that you don't know about even right now. Right now, you could think, not my house. My house is perfect. But then you just wait. You just wait, because I don't think the only perfect house is the house that the Lord is building for us in heaven. There are no perfect houses here on earth, right? In your life right now, you may have inherited some problems. Can we talk about that for a second? Maybe you had relationships that followed shoddy workmanship and cut corners. And that's a problem. Maybe the way you were raised by your parents, I'm not saying that we don't love mom and dad. We love mom and dad. It's biblical to love mom and dad. You better love mom and dad. But maybe some of the ways your parents raised you created faulty foundations here and there. Maybe you weren't told that you were loved enough, and now you are not operating in love to your own children, and you learn that from your own parents. Maybe you were taught some bad habits. One of the worst habits that we are taught when we don't even realize it is how to handle conflict. Sometimes our parents teach us some bad ways to handle conflict, and we just think, well, that's how you handle conflict. You are supposed to yell all night long at each other. That is not how you're supposed to handle conflict. No, it is not. No. Maybe you have a faulty foundation somewhere. that you've inherited. Maybe you were injured by someone. Maybe you have tried to cleverly hide the hurt behind some walls, behind some layers. You don't want anybody to know about the hurt you've gone through. Maybe even right now you have a dangerous problem in your heart and in your mind, and it can cause you great damage. It's like a ticking time bomb. It could go off, and one of these days, if you do not fix it, it will go off. Inherited problems. It's not fair, but sometimes we inherit problems. You may not have caused the problem, but I want to tell you today, it's up to you to fix the problem. You got to fix the problem. You will never fix the problem until you own the problem. That's a pretty good sentence that I know a lot of people that need to hear. I've needed to hear it many, many times. You will never fix a problem until you own the problem. Say, own the problem. Remember that renters don't fix the problem. They call the landlord. This problem in the middle of your life, I want to tell you, it requires ownership. You got to own it. No one else can own it for you. You got to own it. Right now, there was a problem somewhere in your life. See, I know this about you. I know this about you. I'm not judging you, but I just know that in our humanity, somewhere in our life, Milton, there's a problem. Right? Things could be look beautiful. You could be nicely dressed today. Have not, you know, you just cleaned your car. Everything looks perfect. I want to guarantee you, there is a problem somewhere in your life right now. Raise your hand if there's a problem somewhere in your life right now. Raise your hand. See, don't freak out. There's nothing to worry about. You aren't being judged. We are right there with you. In your family, could be a problem. In your health, in your business, in your dream, in your moral character, in your education, in your finances, in your marriage, in your ministry, even in your church, there could be a problem. You got to own the problem to fix the problem. Can you say that with me? Own the problem to fix the problem. Can I tell you something real quick? When we come to the altar and we pray to God, it's not pushing the problem off on God. That's not what the world means when it says cast all your cares upon them. It's not like you cast them and just walk away and go, his problem now. No, you're working together with him. Actually, at the end of this service, we are going to come to this altar, and it is a time that we are owning the problem. It's a time where we are confessing the problem. It is a time where we are asking God to provide his help in fixing our problem. How many know it's our problem, not his problem? Is that all right? It's not God's problem. It's our problem. But we can invite him into our problem and he will gladly come. Whereas you have a lot of friends and you start to bring up the problem, like maybe something like this. Hey, I'm moving next weekend. And your friends just disappeared. They were like, boom, boom, boom. Like one of them just like disappeared, like vanished right in front of your eyes, right? God's not like that. When you have a problem, you come up to him and he does not run away from you. He is waiting for you to invite him into your problem. But you can never invite him into your problem until you first own the problem. One of the best things that could happen today is that you decide to own a problem and then begin to fix the problem. That decision would change your life. You could change your life today. Own the problem. Another way to say that is to confess the problem. We quote this scripture a lot for good reason. It's a great one. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, if we confess our problems, right? He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But here is another great one we don't mention quite as much. It's James 5, 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. See, that's scary for a lot of people. And you should use judgment on this, right? Yeah, right. You shouldn't confess your sins to the person that's going to blog about it, tweet it out, Instagram it, put it on Facebook, Snapchat it. Don't confess your problems to that person. We're not telling you to do that, all right? Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. There is a powerful thing that happens when someone owns the problem, turns to a brother or sister in the Lord, and admits, I've got a problem. Let's pray about it. And the person that hears the problem doesn't run and blab about it. They talk to God about it. They pray together. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Maybe today, what you need to do is own your problem enough to turn to a brother or sister in the Lord and confess the problem to them and pray together. It's in the Word. Maybe we should do it. It is owning the problem to make a public confession to someone you trust. Proverbs 28:13 says this, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Don't try to hide the problem. Own the problem. Bring the problem to the Lord. Bring the problem to a trusted brother or sister, and then pray about it. That's one way to own the problem and to fix the problem. Now, real quick, raise your hand if you've ever undergone a renovation in your home of any kind. You ever undergone a renovation? I've tried to freshen up some things, make them look really good. All right, you can put your hands down. What a pain, am I right? Oh, my goodness. Oh, I want to go on record while my wife's not in the room that I have never started the ball rolling on any of those renovations. That was all her. And they were beautifully wonderful ideas, right? Renovation. What's the idea of a renovation? The idea of a renovation is a refresh or a redesign, a reimagining, a change for the better, right? Maybe the design is dated, right? Anybody ever see a dated design? Just maybe a really ugly design. Sometimes we aren't talking about rotting wood. We're just talking about an ugly paint color, right? Sometimes you need that kind of renovation. Am I preaching to somebody over here? Oh my goodness. What? Y'all don't like get in trouble right here. Don't like get in an argument on the front row. All right. Oh my goodness. You're talking about renovation. I didn't know this was going to be so tough. All right. You renovate something by bringing a new design into the situation. So I went to the interweb and found ugly bathrooms. Because is there a room in the house that's more frequently in need of a renovation than a bathroom? Now you tell me, did I find bathrooms that needed renovation? Let's see number one. Oh my goodness. That is carpet. That's carpet, everybody. Oh, it's good. My goodness. Just a nice mixture of brown and green. What every bathroom needs, all right? Bathroom number two. Let's look at this one. Oh, I heard you like pink. Just that. Oh, my gosh. Flowery wallpaper. Oh, look at that. Number three. This is my personal favorite. I think looks like clams. Like this. If you're listening online, we are looking at, whoa, it's a bathtub that looks kind of like a clam and a sink that looks kind of like a clam, and it's purple. It's beautiful. All right, number four. Green, look at that green. It's beautiful. Can you imagine all the mildew that would hide? All right, number, are we five? Number five, that's just really good too. It's just a lot of green. Green is really in the 1970s for bathrooms. It's really good. Wallpaper everywhere, even on the ceiling. The ceiling is wallpapered, folks. Woo! All right, bathroom six. Let's look at that. It's nice, little retro. Pink and stuff. All right, last one, number seven. All right. This was a newly designed room. As soon as they finished this bathroom, it was in need of a renovation. Someone paid high dollar for whatever that is. Avatar called. They want their bathroom back. The Smurfs? I don't know. Something. It's just completely blue, bubble-looking stuff right there. Those were some ugly bathroom designs. Can I get an amen? Amen. Were any of those not in need of a renovation? All of them were in need of a renovation. They could use some renovation. They needed a new, fresh design. Maybe you feel that way about your life today. Maybe what you need is a new, fresh design. Maybe there's an area of your life in need of some refreshing. Well, I want to warn you that the most of the most important step in the renovation project. Now this is kind of counterintuitive, because you would think the most important step of the renovation process is to go out and find the perfect piece, right, for the room. To go out and find the perfect paint color. To go out and find the perfect carpet. The perfect couch. The perfect piece of furniture. The perfect lighting. None of that is the most important step when it comes to renovation. This is the most important step in the renovation process. It is the demolition. Everyone said demolition. Demolition. See, that's counterintuitive, right? Remember that purple clam looking bath sink? Who could forget it, right? You're scarred forever. There it is again. Look, in order to renovate this bathroom, what has to happen? You got to destroy this thing, right? Please, quickly destroy this thing. The clam has got to go. Somebody say the clam has got to go. Amen. You're speaking the truth, right? You can't keep the clam around and renovate this room. It's got to go. The old has to go away if the new is ever going to come. The most important part of the renovation process is the demolition. This is totally counterintuitive. It's upside down from how we think. We like to look at the new design. In fact, we like to scroll down Pinterest and go, oh, that is nice. Oh, that is beautiful. All right, not judging. We have that in our house often. I'm not on Pinterest. We'll just let you guess who is. But they're just scrolling down. Oh, look at the magazines. Oh, I found this great picture. This is perfect. This is what we're going for. Like, that's what we think is the most important part of the renovation, this design plan, right? We like to look at the new design. We like to go pick out the paint color of the furniture. But here's the deal. If the new is coming, the old can't stay. And it doesn't matter if you found the perfect furniture piece. If the old is not going away, the new can't come. And it doesn't matter if you have the perfect design. If you don't get rid of that clam, it's not going to matter. You have to take a sledgehammer to some things and smash them, and then pick what's up left of it and carry it out to the dumpster. You have to remove some nails that were holding the old into place. You have to reach up and tear down that awful green flowery wallpaper. You have to tear it down, and you have to reach down and rip up that shag carpet that some sick, demented person thought would be really pretty in the bathroom. In fact, you have my permission today. You go straight home, and if you have carpet in your bathroom, you just go ahead, sweetheart. You just rip that up, all right? You can do it. You can do it. If the new is coming, the old cannot stay. What does that mean in your life? What does that mean in your world? What does that mean? What is it in your life that needs demolition today? What is it in your life that needs somebody to just rip up, reach up, and pull that thing down, take it out to the dumpster? I want to tell you that there is a place in your life where you're attempting to build something new. We told you that last week. It was true, right? There is a space in your life where you are attempting to build something new. God put that in you. There's a desire in you to start a new job, to start a new plan, start a new relationship, all kinds of new things. Perhaps the reason you're having trouble building the new is that you haven't gotten rid of the old. I've seen this. I've seen this in Christian lives, right? I've seen people come and they want more of Jesus, but they are pulled between the new God has and the old world that they're living in. They're pulled between a relationship with God, but also a relationship with friends that are pulling them the wrong direction. If they're ever going to have the new, they have to break free from the old. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has what? What happened to the old? it's gone. The old has gone. The new is here. You see, it doesn't say the old's still here and the new is here. We have both. No, the old has to go. Christ comes and he brings newness with him. He brings new things with him. Christ comes and the old has to go. Man, that wasn't popular in Christ's day either, because Christ showed up to some Pharisees and they didn't like the new stuff he was talking about, because he was speaking against some old habits of theirs. They didn't want to get rid of those things. In fact, there were some people that said, man, I would follow you, Jesus, but you know, I don't want to have to give up this right here. Oh, there's some things I need to go. I need to go bury an old body. There's one of the stories right there. I would go with you, but can you wait? And he's like, no, you got to press on to new things now. That's how it was with Jesus. That's still how it is with Jesus. Christ brings renovation. Christ brings freshness. Christ brings a new design. Christ brings brand new. Can you say brand new?
Brand new.
Do you like to buy brand new things? Yes. I don't know about you, but I always prefer to buy brand new things than used things. Right? I mean, it has to be a really good deal for me to be interested in something that's been used. Jesus Christ is into brand new things.
Yeah, all right.
Jesus does not look on Craigslist and find where someone is throwing out 30-year-old brown shag carpet and says, you know what, I'm going to message them. He messages them. Jesus gets in his pickup. He goes over to their house where that shag carpet's out there by the side of the road and picks it up and then takes it over to your house and says, I got you this. Jesus is not into 30-year-old shag carpeting. Aren't you glad? Amen. 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 You have never come to him for a new, fresh blessing, and he brought you something that was an old piece of junk used by someone else. He brought something that was tailor-made for you, something expressly for you, and you are the first owner of that thing. Absolutely. Jesus gives brand new things. Jesus gives brand new grace and mercy, doesn't he? Every day. When he washes all your sins away, you will be born again into a new life. You will come out of the waters of baptism, the Bible says, like a new person. You will rise to walk in the newness of life. He will take out your old heart of stone and he will put a new heart of flesh in you. He will put a new spirit in you, his Holy Spirit. Jesus is into brand new things.
Amen.
He never wants you to feel old, lousy, dirty, like that 30-year-old piece of carpet. Jesus doesn't do 30-year-old carpet. Jesus does brand new. Brand new is awesome. It is everything we should be wanting. But we have to be willing to let go of the old. Isaiah 43:18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Some people in this very room, you need to make that your life verse for the next few weeks. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. You've got like a loop going on your head, like just over and over again. You remember vines where they would just play over and over again? You've got like a vine going off in your head of a failure that was like 20 years ago. You've got a vine going over inside your head of what somebody said about you. You got a vine in your head, and guess what? You need to forget those former things. Do not dwell on the past. Verse 19, God says this, see, I am doing a new thing. If you are ever going to get the new thing, you got to forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Can I tell you, church? Can I speak to Redemption Church real quick? We got some stuff in the past. But we can't focus on the past. We got to look forward to the future. God has a new thing. Look, I'm doing a new thing. Maybe you have some past stuff in your finances. You got some past stuff in a relationship. You got some past stuff in your career. Let go of it. Forget that former thing. See what God's doing. He's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. Look at somebody. Say, he's doing a new thing. Yeah, pastor said it, but God's word says it. See, I'm doing a new thing. You've been praying for the job. He's doing a new thing. You've been praying for a reliable car. He's doing the new thing. You've been praying for the opening at the job, the opening at the college of your choice. He's doing a new thing. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Isaiah 65, verse 17. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. God is into new things. Do you realize when you step across this line of the natural into the supernatural, when you cross over into the great beyond we like to talk about, it's going to be brand new. The earth that we walk on, going to be new. The heaven we're going to walk on, it's going to be new. Even Gabriel the angel is going to be walking around going, "Woo, this is nice. This is new." Everything our God does is new. Goes on to say, the former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. This is what the Lord's saying. There are some things that aren't even going to be remembered. They're going to pass away. They're going to be gone forever. In fact, they'll never come to mind again. Verse 18. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. Here's a little trick in the Bible. You try it out sometime. Every time it says Jerusalem or Israel, put your name in there. Every time you're reading the Bible and it says Jerusalem or Israel, go ahead and rewind it. And then read it again, but put your name in there. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Marshall. I will create Kashonda. Stan, I'm going to create you. I'm going to create you to be a delight. And it's people, your family. Every part that touches your life, every part of your influence is going to be a joy to all people. Do you believe that? You believe that? I believe that. Amen. Hebrews 8:13, talking about new things. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. There are some things in your life that are outdated, and you've got to let them go. There are some relationships that are outdated. And it's not that we don't love those people. We'll pray for those people. But they're outdated. It cannot stay the way it is and for them to be in your life any longer. They are outdated. It's obsolete. They will soon disappear. But you've got to reach for the new. Are you hanging? You know, you can hang on to things that are that like outdated bathroom that we looked at. No. There's some people that like that. Some of those were brand new. That's the scary thing. Some of those things were not 20 years old. Some of those were just newly done, and that was their design. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. As soon as they were created, they were obsolete and outdated, right? My goodness, you've got to let go of those things. Revelations 21:5, I love this one. He who was seated on the throne said, what? I am making everything new. What's he making new? Everything. What's he making new? Everything. What about that part of your life? Yeah. What about this part over here that I don't even know what to do with? He's going to make that new. Everything. Every part of your life. Jesus doesn't just make things newer. I want you to understand. He doesn't just shave off a few years of grime on something. No, he makes everything brand new. He doesn't want to just make you newer. He wants to make you brand new. That's what salvation's all about. When you get saved, you feel like a brand new person. There is a brand new kind of love that shows up inside of you. You just don't even know where it came from. You will cry over people that you used to think were your enemies when you get saved by God's Holy Spirit. And you'll start praying for them like you used to curse them openly. But now you're actually praying, God, let them find this same Jesus that I have found. That's brand new. That's brand new, y'all. In fact, we serve a God who changes people's names, right? Abraham becomes Abraham. And Saul, he becomes Paul. And he's a brand new person in Christ. Absolutely brand new. In fact, he's the one that writes many of these things we're reading today. This is the best thing. Jesus makes us brand new. Jesus takes a drug addict and he demolishes the old and makes them brand new. Jesus takes abusive husbands. He demolishes the old and he makes them brand new. Jesus takes lying, greedy, hateful, and jealous people. He does what? He demolishes the old. I want you to say that with me. He demolishes the old, and he makes them brand new. Jesus takes failure. He demolishes the old. He makes you brand new. Jesus takes hypocrites. He demolishes the old, and he makes them brand new. Jesus takes you and me. He will demolish the old, the outdated, the obsolete. It will disappear. And all that will be left is someone brand new. That's you and me. That's our Jesus. That's him. But there is a problem. We don't always want brand new. I got to show you the clam bathroom again. Will you forgive me? Clam bathroom. My goodness. That bathroom doesn't just need a new throw rug. Would you agree? I'm going to renovate this bathroom. We're going to get a new rug in there. Right? That's not doing it, sweetheart. No. Oh, you know what? I know what this needs. It needs a different color shower curtain. That'll do it. That will save the room. That will really bring both clams together if we had a purple shower curtain. There, if we just had a little more purple in this room, that would work, right? The room doesn't just need a new toilet paper holder. Say amen. Amen. The bathroom needs a complete new design. Let me say it like this. That room doesn't need just a little tweak. It needs a complete overhaul. And this is where we need to be honest sometimes, because we don't like to admit this about ourselves. God, I don't need just a little tweak from you, just a little change. I don't just need a new throw rug. I don't need just a new toilet paper holder. I need you to completely change every part of me. I need you to absolutely, radically make me a brand new person. Not a newer person, a brand new person. I want to tell you this. I want you to repeat it after me. Status quo has got to go. Say it again. Status quo has got to go. Far too often, we don't want Jesus to make us brand new. We just want him to improve us a little. Think about that for a second. Maybe that's some of your prayers lately. I don't want him to like completely mess up my life, because, you know, I really like my life the way it is. I like the clams. I just want him to improve a few things in my life. We don't want a complete new design. We just wonder if he could slightly improve us. We say we want new, but we're actually more committed to the status quo. And that is a human condition. Let me tell you, I'm not judging you. But we say all the time, man, we want everything new, and then go out and live the exact same day that we lived yesterday. Absolutely. Man, I'm ready for brand new things. Absolutely. And then you don't worship in a brand new way. Right? You're doing the exact same thing. You're angry over the same things that you're angry over yesterday. If you want brand new things, you got to change. You got to. You got to change some things. You want brand new, then be brand new. My goodness, that's like trying to hold on to those clams. Oh, don't change me too much, Lord. At least have me one. Let me keep one of those clams in my bathroom. No, they've all got to go. The status quo has got to go. Our care pastor, Marshall Blessing, everybody say, hi, Marshall.
Hi,
we love this guy. Him and I, we answer a lot of phone calls of people that need help. And we don't shy away from these phone calls. We love these phone calls. We're here to help. We're honored that they call us, right? It is a very least, it's an opportunity to meet a person, show them the love of Jesus, pray for them, learn about them, care for them.
Amen.
But I want to tell you that far too often phone calls go like this, and this is not pleasant, okay? But I'm going to be honest with you. Here it is. Hello, my life is hurting or falling apart or it's in trouble, and I need your help to help me maintain my status quo. Now, they never say it like that, right? But it usually goes like this. I can't afford blank, and I'm about to lose it. Can you help me, you know, make the payment here? And totally, I understand. Man, sometimes things happen. We need help. I get it. We want to help everyone, but I want to tell you this. This is very serious. It is never a help to keep someone in a status quo that is not working. Think about that sentence for one more moment. We want to help everyone, but it is never a help to keep someone in a status quo that is not working. For example, someone calls and said they need someone to help them pay for a motel room for the weekend. We've absolutely had these phone calls. We get these phone calls often, right? We don't like to see people out on the street, but if they'll call and say, unless you can help us with a motel room the next two nights over the weekend, we're going to be out on the street. So, Redemption Church, do we want anybody on the street?
No.
Do we want anybody in danger out on the street? Anybody out in the weather where they get sick out on the street? Do we want anybody hungry and going without? No. No. Absolutely. Easy. I can absolutely answer that 100%. No, we aren't for any of that. It is in our heart to help. But before we go and buy two nights at a Motel 6, we ask this. What happens on Monday? Say we pay for Saturday and Sunday. What happens on Monday? Where will you stay on Monday? And the reply far too often is, I don't know what will happen on Monday. Can you just help me today? And that is a heartbreaking situation because there is a status quo that isn't working. Are you with me? Are you following me? Are you following me? I want to tell you that the status quo has got to go. God has something brand new. He's got something better for you. That asking us to help maintain a status quo, even though the status quo is not working, is not what is probably best for any person. We do find godly ways to help everyone who calls. And if you would like to know more about our care ministry, we would gladly share with you and invite you to help us in that ministry. It's an important ministry in the work of God. It is absolutely an important ministry. Y'all believe me? It's an absolutely important ministry, and we could use a lot more help, couldn't we?
Yes.
Absolutely. But here is what I want to share with you as I draw to a conclusion, and I'm going to invite you to pray in a few moments. It is human nature to hold on to the status quo, even if the status quo isn't working.
Right.
It's human nature. But often, our status quo is like the clam bathroom. It's got to go. We're trying to hold on to the status quo that doesn't work anyway. It's no longer sustainable, and it's not fulfilling. So, why don't we let go of the clam and try a new, fresh design? Maybe we ask God to design some new, fresh things in our life. But I want to tell you, it doesn't matter if he has these new fresh things. He absolutely does. We read about him in the Word of God. You will have to demolish the status quo to have the new life you desire. You'll have to demolish the status quo to have the new life you desire. And I don't know what all that means for you, but I want you to pray about it today. I want you to ask the Lord about it today. I want to tell you that your pastor's going to ask God about it today. Maybe there's some things, there are absolutely some things in my life that are status quo that I need to demolish. I need to let go of them. Some of them are absolutely serious. Some of them verge on silly. But they're all holding me back. And I'm not going to hold on to them anymore. You need to demolish your secret sin habits to have the brand new of Jesus Christ. You need to demolish laziness and a lack of focus to have the brand new that you desire. You need to let go of the status quo to have the brand new. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. Thank you, Shelton. Do you know what this tool is right here? You know what? It's also coming on the screen here.
Hammer?
Yes, hammer time. Stop. Everybody knows what this tool is. You don't have to be Tim the Toolman Taylor to know what this tool is. We all know what this tool is. It is a hammer, and it is such a useful tool. Half of this tool is the part that we usually think about. It's this part right here. It's for building. What do you hit with this part? Your thumb. I've done it. It's bad. No, you're not supposed to hit your thumb, right, Ackley? You're supposed to hit a nail. And that nail is supposed to sink into something like wood and attach wood together and to build something with this part. This part of the hammer is for building, driving nails, connecting wood beams together. This part of this tool can absolutely do that. But there is another part of this hammer right here on the outside. What do we call this part of the hammer? It's called the claw. Absolutely. This part of the hammer is for demolition. This part of the hammer is for getting in there, pulling out nails that once held the old in place. This part of the hammer, the claw, it's for getting in there and prying things apart. There are two parts to hammer. And I know you want to get to the building. I know you want to get to the new. I know you want to get to the finished product. Me too. I'm for you. I'll be there with you. But can I tell you, maybe what's holding you back is that you need to turn the hammer around and remove some things from your life today. I don't know what they are, but I have a feeling the Lord's been talking to you about it. While I've been preaching, I have a feeling that God's been telling you that thing right there. Get in there. Remove that thing. It can both build and it can both demolish. But the renovation, the new design that you desire, it requires you to remove some things today. When you come to this altar today, you're owning the problem. You're not renting your life, you're owning it. You're saying, all right, I'm ready to fix some things. I know some things I need to get rid of. I'm gonna carry them down to this altar. I'm going to leave them there. When you come to this altar, you're saying that you want something new. Is that you? If you want something new, this altar is for you today. You want a new design on your life. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to this altar. When you come to this altar today, you are saying that you are willing to let go of the status quo. Are you ready for those things today? Come to this altar. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. If you want special prayer in this place, I want you to come in the first 2 feet. I'm going to pray with you. Our pastoral team will come pray with you in the first 2 feet. But really, I really want every person in this room today to come and talk to God. Ask God to remove things from their life, Lord. And ask God to give us a brand new refresh, a brand new renovation, a new design. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone in this house. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, minister to our needs. Speak to our hearts, God. Give us wisdom in this moment, God. Lord, lead us, God. Lord, let us feel your presence, God. Lord, I pray that they would receive this challenge to let go of the old, to receive the new. Father, in Jesus' name, move in your church today that we would let go of the old and that we would receive the new. Lord, I pray for young people that they would let go of the old so they could receive the new. Families would let go of the old and receive the new. God, we're so thankful for the new you've got for us. But before we can get to the new, God, we need to come to an altar of repentance. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me of all my sins, God. Lord, I want those things removed from my life right now. Lord, forgive me, God, of all my anger. Lord, forgive me, God, of all my unforgiveness. Forgive me, God, for the things I've said, the things I've thought, the things I've done, the things that I haven't done that you've told me to do. Whatever those things are, God, right now, forgive them. Lord, in Jesus' name, let's remove those things today, God. In Jesus' name. Come on, Redemption Church, let's talk to God in this place. I believe God is in this house and he's got brand new for you. Come on, receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.